I love walk-off homers and headshots. I love drifting a turn at 100 miles an hour. In boss battles with a 600-foot-tall Greek god who may or may not be your father.
Welcome to the PSN at Home podcast.
Welcome to the PSN at Home podcast. I am your host, Jordan Sloan. With me, I have Andrew Flores.
Hello, people.
James Dahl.
Hello.
And nobody else.
No one else.
Nope. Where everybody
no
go?
No one else yet.
Oh, all right, so remember to make sure to get to the site by going to www.psnathome.com. Make sure you email me for any listener comments. We still don't have any, but working on it. So yeah, make sure you always email my email, my PSN at home email address for any reader, listener comments or questions, which is jordans@psnathome.com. Mm-hmm. All right, so that covers that. We're on Twitter, Facebook. Look us up. We have make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Podomatic. Let's get to the podcast. Yep. So, story mail. Now, before I get to the story mail, right, real quick here, I just want to apologize for us being, not having a podcast last week. We were all really busy with things we were doing for Halloween, each of us. We're sorry we couldn't have a podcast last week, but that just makes this one all the more grandeur.
I'm sure you guys were already dressing up, going out and getting your nightly candy.
Y'all getting your candy on. You guys are getting your candy on.
Yep. Gotta get that candy. All right. So, first thing in the story mill is the Uncharted 3 findings. Now, what happened like last week, if you remember, there was some news on Uncharted 3, which was so-called World of Deceit. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened was Amazon France posted a listing for Uncharted 3 World of Deceit on its website, okay?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, PlayStation Lifestyle finds Uncharted 3 World of Deceit art by some guy who is affiliated with Sony Computer Entertainment America, okay? So you've got the Amazon France listing, and at the same time, you've got artwork showing up from a guy who is affiliated with Sony Computer Entertainment America. And it looks like concept art. And it looks like it's based in India. It looks legitimate enough, okay? Well, all this was fake.
Yeah, sadly, it was fake. It was,
well,
it was
I don't remember them saying that they were going to be going to India. I thought they would be going to the South Pole is for the next game.
Yeah, there was a news on it being in having something to do with the South Pole.
Yeah,
what I did hear a while ago though is if they made an Uncharted PSP, that would be going to India.
Really?
Yeah,
that's what I heard somewhere.
How would that work?
An Uncharted PSP? I don't know. Kind of like Eye of Indra worked, I guess.
I guess
just a movie. Was it a movie?
Well, no. I mean, for story.
Story series.
But so all of it was fake. The Amazon France listing was quickly pulled, and the man behind the Uncharted 3 World of Deceit art said that it was all for some type of school project or something, which I hope he got an A+ on that project, because if anybody who can get the majority of the new video game news community to believe that it is actually Uncharted 3 concept art should get an A+, okay?
Yeah, it is definitely pretty believable.
Yeah.
So, the next thing on the list...
I wasn't really happy about the name. I thought the name was kind
of... Yeah, World of Deceit was kind of like, you know.
Huh? Not really thought out, just laid on World of Deceit.
Because you got Uncharted, Drake's Fortune, then Uncharted 2, Among Thieves, then Uncharted 3, World of Deceit. I don't know.
Yeah, it just seemed... it just laid on there. Like, there was no thought that went into it at all.
Yeah. It seemed like it was really quick snap and grab. I mean, you gotta keep in mind, a lot of game developers will put weeks into developing their subtitle for their name,
Right.
And it's really important to a lot of developers. So, let's move on now. Next thing was another, big finding was the PlayStation phone.
This was a very interesting
one. Was interesting because Engadget posted pictures of a PlayStation phone, and then it was reported that it was fake, and then it was reported that it was real. And then it was again reported by another website that it was fake. And then Engadget came out with a full string push saying that it was real with multiple articles.
That's a lot of reports.
Yeah, I know. It was like a lot of back and forth.
I think what was going on was a lot of people looked at it. The problem was a lot of people looked at it and just saw something that could have easily been Photoshopped.
Easily, yeah.
But nevertheless, it did end up being real.
Yeah.
It took a lot to prove it, but anyways.
It's
so
there,
we're going to be talking about the PlayStation phone a little bit later, so we're not going to get too much into the details with that. The next short thing in the story mill this week is the PlayStation Store delay. This week, there was, when the PlayStation Store was supposed to update, there was a delay with it not showing up on the front page until the actual next day. So if you were looking at the PlayStation Store update Thursday and you didn't see it, it was all right there. You just had to search for it physically.
Tuesday, I'm sorry.
Forgive me.
It's not Thursday still, anymore.
I'm stuck in the past. It used to be Thursday. Now it's Tuesday.
Yes.
Pardon me. Sorry. So now, it's all showing up now. So by the time you're hearing this, it'll all be showing up. But that's, Sony had come out with something saying that, yeah, there was a delay, there was an error, something not filtering right. But it's all fixed now, so we're all good. And last thing I want to talk about for our story mill is event preparations, okay? So right now, Andrew here is going to be working on his capture card, and Drake, James here is also going to be working on his, getting him a Dazzle, or something to capture with live streams with. So what's going to happen is we're going to have at least three, we're hoping to have at least three people who can stream by the time of the event, but all we need really is two, but we like to be better prepared.
Yeah.
So what's going on then is we're all just getting set up for the Call of Duty release, which is big. Don't get me wrong, that's big. We might actually do a live podcast for that on that day that's released, or the day after, or like the day after, you know, while we're playing it a little, do some live streaming with it and whatnot. But we'll have a little fun on the day of the release, and then we'll talk about the tournament that day too. I also want to let everybody know that we're actually getting some new stuff from Jeff Rubenstein from the PlayStation blog. I contacted him today. He's going to be sending us some special stuff for our PlayStation giveaway. So those of you who are entered into the giveaway, we're going to have another giveaway for other PlayStation stuff that you're automatically entered into, okay? This is just another giveaway we're adding on top of everything we had already. So we're going to have three PlayStation giveaways. Now, this is big, okay? Now, when you're having three PlayStation giveaways on like in the same two-day event, it's big. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is really exclusive stuff that you really can't get anywhere else. So I really hope we get a lot of people for that. So far, I have about 50 emails.
Yeah,
I have about 50 people that are entered into the giveaway.
Yeah, that's quite
into it. Get a board on them before it's too late, and you're going to miss out on this opportunity that we're bringing you guys. So come on, do it. Do it.
All right. The first topic this week is horror games. Since it was just Halloween, I figured this would be a very proper addition to our podcast this week.
Yeah, this is good. I actually wanted to talk about horror games. This is
after
a good idea.
After Halloween. Yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
So, basically, what happened a few days ago, I don't know if it was yesterday or a few days ago, but there was a new Dead Space 2 trailer released.
Yep.
And a Silent Hill 8, trailer announcement. Mm-hmm. And that looked like a new game. I don't know how good it looked, but, horror games are starting to make a little bit more of a push now. You're starting to see some more influences on horror. And it seems like, to me, developers are like starting to scratch the surfaces how to make a real scary horror game.
Yeah.
So,
this is true.
Now, basically, what I'm just going to get to first before we jump into that, let's talk about Dead Space 2 a minute here. Dead Space 2, in terms of how the multiplayer was, and what we've seen of the single player, and even Dead Space 1 we can talk about with this. Just a general question I want to ask about is there too much action, okay? Compared to horror, or actual scares in the game, do you think, to be considered a survival horror game, do you think there is too much action in the Dead Space series?
You picked a great topic for this.
Yes, you did.
Because Dead Space 1, there was more action than horror. There was probably like one or two times I actually got really scared, or there's a few times, right, maybe. But I felt like there wasn't enough after going through the whole game. I felt like there wasn't enough scares in there.
Yeah,
or
at least
really good ones anyways.
There were a couple good scares.
Yeah, there was.
I mean, but like other than that, like it was a lot of action in the game, and it just didn't feel like it was scary enough as it should be. And Dead Space 2 is like, I'm just kind of worried that it might be more action-y than it is scary. And I think that's probably what the developers wanted to go with, too.
So. Mm.
And you also got to consider now what's going to get them more sales. Is the action going to get them the sales, or is the horror getting them the sales?
It's a bit of both, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, I mean, the whole port of, like, the whole style of the game is to be scary, right? So, but
yeah, it's supposed to be scary. They want you to feel scary. They want you to, and it was good. It did. Like I said, it did have some good scary parts.
It did.
But,
yeah.
I also want to point out that around E3, there was actually an interview with one of the developers in Dead Space. I actually believe it was the head of Visceral Games.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name right now, but there was an interview with him, and there was an interviewer that actually asked this very question to him. Is there going to be, how much horror is compared to action is there going to be in this game? And he actually responded saying that it's going to be pretty equal throughout the game. It's going to be pretty 50-50.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what he thought about the last game, though, because if it's, you know, if he's considered the last game 50-50, then it's way off. So you don't know. It's hard to really tell, like, in his opinion, what is scary.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with that being said, there's a lot that could, you know, it could go either way. You know, it doesn't really say much him saying, oh, yeah, it's going to be 50-50, when you don't really know what his opinion of horror is.
Right, what he thinks scary is, yeah. So, yeah, it's unknown to us, but all we can do is hope that Dead Space 2 brings more horror to it.
Yeah.
So multiplayer wasn't scary. You're scared.
Another thing I want to bring up is Resident Evil. Did that just totally drop horror off of its...
It did.
Protege? Because it really went, like, Resident Evil 5, the co-op took every bit of horror out of the game. Resident Evil 4,
meant purely, like, just to be a co-op game. Resident Evil 4 was, I don't know.
A little scarier. Yeah. Resident Evil 4, it was a little scarier in the way that, you know, there was a lot more gruesomeness and gore in it, you know?
Yeah, you're alone.
And mutilation. The fact that you're alone actually kind of helped that. But it's still... Again, wasn't as scary as, you know, the earlier Resident Evil games.
Yeah.
Now,
it was a lot of the classic horror games were probably, like, the most scarier for all of us. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So, yeah, because it was a little slower moving, those, and it's moving, like, you didn't really... There was a really good eerie tone to it, too. You know, there was this, like, feeling of complete loneliness when you're playing the older horror games.
Yeah.
Now, this actually brings me to my next question, then. Are they making for the wrong aim with horror games today? It's like, is there horror in these games versus, you know, I don't want to just say action, but just more of a adventure-style game, or just trying to make a game over, like, focusing on horror, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think they are focusing on horror as much now, rather than just trying to make a game more...
They're just trying to make it fun or interesting.
Yeah.
More compatible to everybody to make it dumb it down on the horror, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, you can influence mainstreaming into this whole topic too, but I don't really want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But like, even if you talk about survival horror, even compared to real horror games, you know what I mean?
Right.
Almost every horror game that's out today seems to be a survival horror game. Now, how do you make a real horror game that's not a survival based substance?
Say that again.
Say that. You don't know what to say that, do you?
I don't know what to say to that. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Well, like, what are your guys' like top horror games that you've played that you can just list off the top of your head?
Dead Space would be one of them.
I could think of the Dead Space series, the Silent Hill series, and the Resident Evil series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Well, as a kid, terrified me. So.
Yeah.
But
and then like, Fatal Frame
Hill is pretty scary. I think.
Yeah,
it's pretty creepy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, like even Fatal Frame though. Let's talk about Fatal Frame for a second here. This is on the PS2 era. Now, Fatal Frame, it's scary if you're alone with the volume up. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, Fatal Frame.
And the game has to be in your face.
Yeah, and you have to be really close to the TV screen, okay?
Oh.
That's a good point, Driggy. You do have to be really close to the TV screen. Otherwise, if you have, like, a friend over, or if I had all the lights off, because Fatal Frame depends so much on the environment you're in while you're playing the game for it to be scary, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of something that, like, I don't want to say developers should avoid having... forcing you to actually make the environment around you scary, but then again, it is kind of impossible to make a scary game without actually having it, because if you're playing a horror game and there's a bunch of stuff going on around you, it's like, if you're playing a horror game in the middle of a construction yard, it's not that scary, okay?
Yeah.
Because you're in broad daylight.
They should probably, like, force everybody that gets their game to go into a haunted house, set up the TV, play the game there alone.
Mm-hmm.
Videotape yourself.
That's too much right there.
No, that's too much, yeah.
Now, what about Manhunt?
Manhunt was good.
Was it scary?
Especially the first one. The first one was pretty scary.
It was pretty scary?
Mm-hmm.
It
looked pretty scary, yeah.
I never played it. What could you tell me about it?
Tell you about it? Pretty much, it's like you have to survive, and you have to, like, try. Like, pretty much, it's kind of like a little, a little game show kind of thing. Where it's like you're put in this area where it's like these people who want to kill you, and you can kill them, and pretty much the whole objective of the game is just to get out of there and survive, and you'll meet a lot of freaky people on the way, and it's really good. It's just scary. It's good.
Right?
There was one part where I think it's the final boss part where it kind of reminded me of Leatherface, because he would chase you with a chainsaw.
Oh, damn.
So it was really good, because especially that part, because he had to, like, know where he was coming from, otherwise he would just chop you up.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a really scary game, because you're just like, you're forced to go in one direction or something, basically, and you're getting chased or someone's trying to kill you, you know. Like that.
Yeah, and that is kind of cool too. I mean, another thing that kind of affects horror games a lot is a creepypasta type tone.
Mm-hmm.
If you can add that into a game well, then you'll have a pretty scary game, because it's like, to make a good horror game, I think you need to have more disturbing things rather than just gruesome gore and whatnot, you know?
Yeah.
Because just having the disturbing facts in front of you helps, in my opinion.
Yeah, that'll probably improve a horror rating from like 5 to like 10 and beyond.
Yeah.
If it's like so much disturbing stuff in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing I just wanted to add in there. Do you guys think, in the right setting, in the right tone, Bioshock could be scary?
Yes.
The first one was a bit scary, but then, of course, it went action-y.
It was a bit scary, but it didn't have enough. It went more towards action. Yeah, so.
Because, I mean, it's pretty much like you're going down to Rapture, where there's a bunch of fucked up people there.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't know what you're expecting the first time.
The first time, yeah.
But no one will ever have a first time again when they're playing that game.
Yeah.
Now, another thing is multiplayer with horror games. Could it work? Dead Space 2 multiplayer, you played it, Andrew. Were you scared when playing that game? Space 2 multiplayer beta?
No, I was not. I was not scared at all.
At all?
Not at all.
Were you scared? Like, were you, like, intensified? Were you just, like, trying to get out of there or something?
You excited?
I was excited playing it, but I mean, I wasn't scared at all. I mean, I never got scared one bit when I was
kept
playing.
You cool when you were taking them down.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just wasn't as scary as I thought it would be online. Because I mean, online is pretty much it's just like teamwork, and that's what it was all about.
Yeah, there's so much strategy involved. It's hard to actually be scared. You know,
I mean, probably the only thing you would be scared of is like losing. That's it. That's it. But I mean, other than that, it's fun. It's fine. They just need to up the necromorphs a little bit. That's it.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, that's all they need to do, and then it'll be balanced out.
Mm-hmm. Now, one more thing I'm just going to add to this.
You've been adding a lot of stuff.
I've been adding a lot of stuff. I just want to say that Silent Hill 8, I saw the trailer for Silent Hill 8, or the new Silent Hill, and that looked possibly scary. Okay, it looked like it had the possibility of being scary.
It looked good. It looked good.
It looked like a good game, but in terms of horror, it looked like it's got a possibility of actually being a good horror game, you know?
Yeah.
But let's move on to the next.
A lot of the first one, anyways, in some of the scenes. I don't know. I don't know. Just go on. Just go on. Go on.
Let's move on to the next subject here with, like I said, when we were going to talk about the PlayStation phone later. The time is now. Basically, what we're going to talk about is PlayStation Phone and PSP 2, okay?
Ooh.
So, basically, first things first, let's talk about the PlayStation Phone. We kind of wetted your lips a little bit with that when we talked about it earlier. So let's get down to it.
Let's get down to business.
Recently, Engadget released images and details regarding a PlayStation phone, or rather a Sony Ericsson, but that has, it was like a flip-out phone that had the PlayStation buttons on it, like flat out, and you know, with PlayStation brand branded on it and everything. It actually doesn't actually say PlayStation anywhere on the phone.
It doesn't.
But the fact that it's got X, circle, triangle, and square on it says something, okay?
It says something. Yeah. It's a Sony Ericsson phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and it has, you know, like, the look of the PSP Go when you slide it out, at least. And it has Android.
Yeah, it looks very similar to the PSP Go, it's got Android
running on
OS
it.
On it, So, basically, what we know about the PSP phone, at least according to what Engadget has reported, says that it has an 8GB micro SD card slotted into it, right? 512 megabytes of internal storage, though we're hoping it's 1GB we've heard would be present. So they've heard, Engadget says that they're hoping 1GB, that it's going to have 1GB of internal memory. It's got, where did I see that now?
I think it has a gigahertz processor.
1GHz processor,
I think it does,
Yep, that's 1GHz processor. Touch Pro 2, touchscreen. And that basically is a form of HTC's touchscreen. So if you ever use an Android, it's got roughly the same same touchscreen as the Android with some multi-touch support.
It
looks really nice. It's got
it's got all the bells and whistles that you would expect on a PSP Go, at least, except, you know, it's a phone. And
it's pretty cool that they're teaming up with Android, though, for sure.
Yeah. That's just interesting. That is interesting.
512 megabytes of RAM, 1 gigabyte of ROM, 3.7 to 4.1 inch screen.
No. Here's a question, though. Like, will it run PSP games? Or
that's a good question. If it's using the Android OS, no.
Okay.
If it's using another operating system than the PlayStation Portable's current system of operating, then it's not going to work. Okay, so, 1 gigahertz Qualcomm MSM 8955 is the processor, so it's a very powerful machine, to say the least.
It's a very powerful little portable device.
And it looks nice. It looks sleek. It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
For some reason, the one they show here looks like it's been used, you know? But it's definitely something to look into. It says SD card, phone storage on it, so it's like, it could be a really good phone, but that's not the point here. Now, next thing we know is the PSP2, okay? We don't know anything about it, but what's been rumored...
We know it's coming. We know it's
being worked on. Yeah, we know it's being worked on, but according... Not from Sony, though. We don't know it's being worked... Sony hasn't admitted anything about the PSP2.
Yeah.
But we know from other sources that, you know, they're working on something. So far, we know that the guy developing Mortal Kombat says that they have one in-house. We know that EA has also said, has also slipped something about PSP, too.
Saying that,
We know that it's been rumored to be, the power of the PSP 2 is rumored to be almost equal to the Xbox 360.
Rumored, and that would be one hell of a rumor.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That's true.
Of course, the problem with this rumor is that more than one person has reported this at around the same time. And so, it's like, if it's coming from more than one person, and not just at the same time, though, like a bunch of... Basically, what I've heard about this is, like, 3 months... Not 3 months, 2 months ago, like, there was a few reports saying that, oh, yeah, PSP 2 could be more powerful, about the same power as the Xbox 360. And then, like, just about 2 weeks ago, I heard the same thing from another source saying that somebody else had said that it could be about the same power as the Xbox 360. So there's a lot of people agreeing that it's going to be about the power of the 360. And if that's being said, then it's definitely a very powerful device. The other rumor I heard is that it's going to have a 1080p screen. Now, this sounds like a stupid idea, in my opinion, because do you really need 1080p on that small of a screen? Let's be honest.
No one does. No one does, unless there's an HDMI out for it.
Well, even if there's an HDMI out, then it's, you don't even need that, you know?
Yeah.
So, basically, I think if Sony does put a 1080p screen on a PSP2, they're wasting their money, in my opinion. Yeah. Because you're spending money on something that isn't really worth it.
Yeah.
To the general public, anyways.
Yeah.
So, it's a few more rumors about it. It says that it has forward and backward facing cameras, a powerful 4-cell CPU processor, a touch screen in addition to physical buttons, and almost certainly no physical medium for games. Okay.
Hmm.
So, like the PSP Go, it won't be using UMD discs, is what this report says.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
That's what I'm saying, man.
So that's what we know about the PSP phone and the PlayStation Portable 2, okay?
That's as much as we know.
That's as much as we know, as much as the general public could know about it.
Yeah,
so,
which we can know more.
This brings me to my next question. Is Sony pushing too much hardware on the market?
Yes, they are.
No.
No. It's not like they're releasing it like right away or anything like that, you know.
It's not like it's saying like this holiday season the PSP phone.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is they're all supported though. If they're all supported.
Mm.
Okay.
They're all supported.
Let me look at it this way. You've got the PlayStation 3, which is constantly supported by Sony. You've got the PlayStation Move supported by Sony. The PSP 3000 supported by Sony. The PSP Go supported by Sony. Now you're going to have a PlayStation phone, which would be supported by Sony, and a PSP 2, which would be supported by Sony.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's six big devices to be pushing at the same time.
Yeah.
They would probably drop some devices. They probably would, knowing them, to make a step forward, at least.
Yeah, well, what about the PSP 3000? How long is that going to go on for?
That's good. He's dead.
Everyone wait, hold up.
So how long is
back the
last?
Fun bust up, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, everybody says that the PSP 3000 is just going to die out, but why hasn't Sony been pushing the PSP Go?
This is true, yeah.
If Sony wants the PSP 3000 to die, then why aren't they pushing the PSP Go? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What I can see happening is that I think Sony is using the PSP Go as a way to generate money, because they're charging much more than it actually costs to make it. And by pardon me, doing that, they can use the PSP Go as a way to generate revenue, okay? In my opinion, I think they're not supporting the PSP Go, and I think they're just narrowly supporting the PSP 3000. Also, they can toss them both aside to introduce the PSP 2. That's what I'm thinking. Because that's the only explanation I could really come up with, really. But what that means, though, is that the PSP Go is just, it's like a market share, okay? All they're using it for is to generate money so they can have price cuts on the PlayStation 3, you know, push more, you know, pay for more exclusive content or games, you know, just get more money out of it in total.
So wait, are you saying that the PSP 2 could support UMD still?
I'm not saying that the PSP 2 could support UMD. I'm just saying that the PSP 2 will probably be... Actually, you know what? The PSP Go, actually, would probably be a stepping stone, in my opinion. Now, what do you guys think? Do you guys think the PSP Go is a failure or a stepping stone?
It's a stepping stone. I mean, why would it be a failure?
Yeah.
Well, because
they wanted to make something that would be digital and accessible for people who are always on the go, that they wanted to buy their items digitally instead of going to a store.
Yeah, maybe
and that's what they went for.
Physical
yeah.
items.
Yeah, if they don't want a UMD, they just go PSP Go.
Yeah.
So no. I mean, I don't think it's a failure. I think
it was convenient for sure. So.
It was a step forward for Sony, but like you said, they aren't pushing it as much.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't. No, you haven't really seen it at all.
I mean, there's they do have
so far. Yeah, like so far, every new commercials for the PSP show the PSP 3000.
It shows, it shows the 3000. You've seen one of him saying, like, you know, you can download the games just like you would on an iPhone, and they would be awesome games.
Now,
kind of hinting.
The way what I think is that the PSP Go is being used to bring the PlayStation Portable's gaming collection digital. Okay.
Yeah.
They're using that to create the digital market, which would then be used by the PSP 2. That's what I think.
Okay.
But then again, why isn't Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep on the digital store already?
That was a decision they made. They didn't
that
want
Sony
it.
Made?
Yeah, that was a decision that Square Enix made. They made that decision saying, like, they didn't want to go.
I figured it would be Square Enix because Sony just is really trying to make sure that their whole collection is on the is digital. Now, Sony had said that there will that Birth by Sleep will go digital at some point. They just don't know when.
Yeah, they just gotta work it out with Square Enix, right?
I believe so.
But
they would have to work something out.
Yeah.
So basically, you can
still see like everything going digital, right?
Yeah, everything can go digital. Everything
especially can. For the portable area, because of the fact that, you know, with 3G networks and, you know, put so much Wi-Fi and, you know, internet power that's been going around, I could see them making something digital, because really, if you're on the go, are you going to be lugging all your games around?
Right. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
That's the problem that it comes down to.
Yeah, no, you have nothing to carry all your games. How many games you going to have, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So,
not like you're going to carry all your
games. If anything, if I'm on the go, I usually have, like, just the game that's in there, and then whatever, just go, right?
Yeah.
Just one game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it comes down to with that. So the other thing I want to talk about, though, if the PSP 2000, I'm sorry, if the PSP 2 has a touchscreen, what do you think about that?
It could be pretty nice.
No. I don't want it to have a touchscreen.
Yeah, I don't
see PSP 2 having a touchscreen, but if it did have a touchscreen, there would probably be certain motions that you would be able to do in some games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could almost think of it as like a DS, like converging with the PSP or something like that.
Yeah.
If it has a touchscreen.
Yeah, and a lot of people would see PSP 2 having a touchscreen to copy off the DS.
Right.
That's what a lot of people would see it as.
Yeah. Because otherwise, it'd be just like an iPhone or something. It's like, what's the purpose of that?
Now, if they had 3D. That's a whole nother story, but we won't get into that.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other thing, though, too, with PSP now, what if they added... What is your guys' thought of the second analog stick, okay?
I don't really care. I don't know.
It was missing. And
you want
finally
the, you,
made a wise decision, yes.
But it's not like I play a lot of, like FPS.
What do you mean they finally made a wise decision?
Well, I mean, because a lot of people were complaining, oh, it only has one stick. I mean, it works fine. It works.
Well, we don't know if the PSP 2 has two analog sticks.
Yeah. I know.
So who made the wise decision?
Because, like, why wasn't it on the PSP?
Why? Well, basically, I think it shouldn't have two sticks.
Yeah, it works well without it, really. I don't know, like the second one.
It works well because I mean they would have to have like an auto aim or like something in some game where
Well, here's the thing. Here's why I think it's better without two sticks. If you have one, if you use one nub, then that forces it attempts to force the developer to create games around the PSP, okay? If you've got two analog sticks, you can just put PS2 games on the PSP, and it's like, yeah, PS2 games are fun, but if you want a diverse library, you know, is that going to come?
Yeah. If anything, the two sticks has been used for, like, just mainly FPS-type things, right?
FPS.
Third-person shooters, shooter games, those kind of things.
Yeah, right? Like shooting games or, like, other
otherwise,
stuff.
It's not really necessary because... Everything else works great with it, so.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people were complaining about it.
Yes, they were.
They get a second stick now. So, that's how it works. I mean, everyone's just going to be crazy happy when they get to play FPSs on the go now, even though I don't know why would you want to play an FPS on a portable device. But
yeah. I think it'd be fun.
It would be. I mean, with one stick, it doesn't work at all. Does not work at all.
It works to an extent. Like you said, it just needs to auto-aim.
Yeah, like auto-aim. They have to do somewhere. You just target your opponents easily. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So between a PlayStation 4 and a PSP 2, what would you rather have?
That's a tough one. I honestly would.
You just lost your phone, so.
Yes, I was going to say the phone.
Yeah, because, I'd say the phone.
It would be nice. Yeah, because that would be nice. Because I mean, it's
I'm gonna say PSP 2.
Because I really don't know what to expect from PSP 2 right now. Like we know what to expect from the phone.
We don't. Yeah, we know what to expect. Yeah.
Yeah, we know what to expect from the phone, and we know that's pretty powerful. But I'd say PSP 2 if it is almost as powerful as the 360.
If it is, then I will go PSP 2, but we don't know much about that.
Yeah.
We don't know much.
And that'll stay as a rumor. Mm-hmm. Until otherwise.
So we'll have to wait, all right? We'll talk about this later.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, so game of the week this week is 007 Bloodstone. So we're making this game of the week because I've heard multiple pieces of news, not just on 007 Bloodstone, but since GoldenEye had come out this week for the Wii, and news on the next Bond movie was announced today as well.
Mm-hmm. A lot of James Bond stuff going on.
But,
So what do you want to say about Bloodstone?
Well, I just want to say that it looks like a really good... It honestly, in my opinion, looks like it could be a really good 007 game. It's just...
It it does look really good. I mean, multiplayer... Like, me and Drake...
The first one in a while, anyways. The first good 007 game in a while.
It could possibly be that.
It could
me
be.
Me and Drake were looking at videos, and it kind of like reminded us a little of Uncharted 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's got a lot of the same features, right? Like the stealth climbing, and then just the main.
It reminded me of some of the older 007 games, like Nightfire or something like that. You know?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
I mean that's what it reminded me of.
It looks really good. I mean, even though being made by Bizarre, which is really bizarre, but
wow, that was amazing.
Yeah. That was a good one.
That was absolutely amazing.
But yeah.
So, is there anything else you want to say about it?
That's pretty much it.
Hopefully, Andrew here will get reviewing it soon.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get reviewing on that soon.
If you guys are interested.
So, weekly gameplay this week. What have you guys been playing this week?
Minecraft. Lots of it.
You have? Really?
Yes, I have been playing Minecraft.
I should have gave you the link to my server.
Oh. Yeah, and I've been playing Rockman 3. And that's pretty much it. That's it. Rockman 3 and some Minecraft. Go get Minecraft, $13. Minecraft
is where it's at.
James, what have you been playing this week?
I have to plug that in.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah.
Well, I've been just playing some Red Dead Undead this week. And that's great. That's some great deals right there.
Somebody join the Undead Nightmare.
Yeah. Yep. And I've been playing Vanquished. So I'm doing the review for that. So keep a lookout for it.
I don't know. Jordan?
I've been playing a lot of Fallout New Vegas and Undead Nightmare.
Right on.
So,
anything interesting in Fallout?
Basically, in Fallout, I've got over 6,000 caps.
Robbed bank.
Well, I beat you, buddy. I have over 12,000 caps.
Oh, I'm halfway there. And now I'm just working for the Brotherhood of Steel right now.
More than all of you.
I'm trying to figure out a way to get rid of the Elder in the Brotherhood.
You'll find a way.
Mm-hmm. So there's no listener comments this week. Any closing comments you guys want to mention before we close it up?
Rockman 3 and Minecraft.
That's it. What kind of closing comments are that? You don't even work for us anymore.
Shut up.
No.
What I would say is keep gaming. Check out the site.
Oh, wait. You know, we have to talk about this right now.
Oh. Oh,
crap. I forgot to add this to the topics list. Uh-oh. You know what we have to talk about?
What?
The tester.
Ooh. Tester.
Oh,
Season two started of the tester this week, okay?
That's right.
And basically, you didn't see it. Drinker didn't see it either.
I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I saw it.
See it.
Okay, basically, so far, they eliminate two people every week, and there's 8 episodes in total.
Yep.
Okay.
And they eliminated Maxim and some other chick.
Spoiler alert, too late.
Yeah, spoiler alert, sorry. And basically, what happened was Maxim, I honestly think that Maxim guy was acting like a total douchebag to the judges, and I think that's why he was taken off, because he's up there, and because he basically the challenge was to guess what game was showing up, before the full picture arrived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And basically, what Maxim said was, because he couldn't get any of them, right? Barely. And he's just like, I play sports games and shooter games, that's it. If you need me to review anything, I'll play it. But I play sports games and shooter games. You know, he's acting like a total tough ass in front of the judges, and the judges right away saw that and were like, yeah, your game ends here. Get out of here. You know?
Your game ends here.
Your game ends here.
And then you've got this one, these war princess and some other chick, and they're the other two that are about to get eliminated. One of them says, one of them doesn't have a PS3, first off. Okay?
Ooh.
So somehow, somebody without a PlayStation 3 is just kicked off. Made it off the tester. She's still on, too, actually. She made it on the tester, but the person standing next to her was this other chick, and she flat out said to the judges, I'm not good at tests.
I'm not good at tests. Oh, man.
Obviously, she got booted off the show.
Yeah.
I could see War Princess going in the next week, though, the one who doesn't have a PS3. She could be going next week. No.
Wow.
And then they showed the...
play the games.
The preview for next week showed the one... Oh, and the one guy who says he has all the games ever, right? Yeah. He couldn't recognize barely any of them either. He was the bottom four for that challenge.
I have to see this. I must see this now.
He was just in a total state of shock when he's like, oh, I was.
He didn't even, like...
Yeah, because he thought he was, like, really good with, like, really knowledgeable about PlayStation, and he honestly didn't know that much. Basically, the way I saw this guy, I think he was more into music games than anything. But anyways, he doesn't look like the nicest of people, according to the preview for next week. But we'll leave that for another time. Anyways, that's it. That's all for the tester thing. But anyways,
we'll
we've had
keep
our...
you posted.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted. Anything else you guys want to say?
Good night.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.
I'm going to bed.
All right, cool. That's it. See you next time. Make sure you go to our website at www.psnathome.com. Make sure you email me for listener comments or questions at jordan@psnathome.com. We're on Twitter and Facebook. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast via iTunes or Podomatic. That's all for tonight. Have a good week.
We'll see you guys. Good night. Goodbye.